Welcome to Trainers Talking Tech on Tuesdays.
Well, welcome everyone. Welcome to Trainers Talking Tech on Tuesday. My name is Kyle Rosenthal, and I am joined, as always, by the indomitable, the amazing, the other flowery words that I can't think of right at the moment, Brian Bork. How are you, Brian?
I am well, Kyle. And how are you yourself?
Look, I'm doing well. I am home for a week, so you know that's always unique. It's good. I'm doing well. I'm busy as catching up on everything that I haven't been doing for the last 5 weeks at home. So you know that's always the fun part. So the and paperwork and all that sort of stuff that need to get done before I head out again. So
and it's almost as if this is a recurring theme with you.
It does feel like a recurring theme. Yes, it certainly does. But the next trip out should be the last trip for about a month or so, I think. So the next week I will be in Seoul in South Korea. I don't know why I keep on saying South Korea to people when they say, where are you going? And I have to go, and they go, well, you wouldn't go to North Korea.
and for all you know, you might.
Maybe. So I was actually, just as a side note, I was looking at doing a tour to up to the DMZ for my North American listeners.
Thank you.
When I was looking at it, like there's a site where this person has done a tour and that sort of thing, and they're recommending different tour companies, etc. And one of the things is that basically what they do is they take you up to the one border crossing, essentially into North Korea from South Korea, and there's a room that you go into. It seems to be a room, or maybe it's just an area, but basically one half is North Korea, one half is South Korea, and you have to sign an indemnity form before you go, or actually before you go on the tour, that says that essentially you are indemnify them from the tour company from everything, including any responsibility if you happen to stray across the line between South Korea and North Korea. If you do that, then essentially you are on your own, and you like they you know essentially will turn their back and go good luck.
good on you. Yes.
So I decided I've decided not to do that tour. not because I didn't want to sign the indemnity form, but because I figure current sort of thing, current international relations would make that probably not the best place to go to. So, but. Maybe next time. I am, however, looking forward to there's a friend of mine who lives in Seoul who I'm going to try and convince to take me out for, or not take me out, but go out for dinner. And as well as that, when we go out for dinner, apparently there's an electronics district which is just amazing. So you never know what I might come back with. So
true.
As in electronically, that
you,
is.
You could so. Talk about tech. Perhaps.
I could talk about tech. So, yes. Now, actually, before we move on and start actually talking about tech, let's do a little bit of housekeeping.
Okay.
So our website, if you want to be able to subscribe to the podcast and have a chat with any of us, have a listen to any of the chats that we've had, trainertechtalk.net. James Finley has been doing a lot of updating of our podcast, so it's actually getting up there quite rapidly, which is really good. So he is not with us this week because he is in South America, so I'm sure we'll hear at least some of that when we see him next time. He left New Zealand as I arrived, which I thought was very rude.
I bet you he didn't. I bet you he almost planned it that way.
I should say I actually got to him for a couple of drinks before he left. So we did actually meet and have a drink. I tried to arrange sort of a gathering of some of the MCTs in New Zealand, and James turned up. It was a Tuesday night or Wednesday night, and everyone else was either committed or had other things to do, or basically just didn't want to come and have a drink. So that's fine. The other play that you can get a hold of us, if you do so desire as well, is via Twitter, which is at TuesdayTTT is our Twitter account. So if you want to get a hold of us, so at TuesdayTTT. Or you can get a hold of Brian using at Brian Bork, LODS, or myself at Windows PC Guy. I think that's all that out of the way. Now, Tech.
Brian. Sponsor. You almost made it.
I did almost make it.
You covered my Twitter handle without talking about our wonderful sponsor.
I was going to mention it right at the end.
Well, we'll mention it at the end, too. But
all right.
Okay. For those so who might on... not stay with us to the end.
So, Brian, who is our sponsor?
Our sponsor would be Learn On Demand Systems, the LODS in at Brian Bork LODS.
I just thought that was a weird set of initials you had. But
it is. See, Brian Bork actually translates to LODS in my language, which is imaginary. If mathematicians can do it, I can do it too.
Radio.
Yeah, so Learn On Demand Systems. And what does Learn On Demand Systems do, Kyle Rosenthal?
No, that's your turn to answer that. Okay. I answered it last time.
Yeah, I guess you did. The Learn On Demand Systems is a orchestrator and provider of hosting solutions for educational, healthcare IT, a virtual cornucopia of different organizations who could use some online labs or virtualization.
Perfect.
So Tech.
Tech. Yes. So, Brian, I believe that you might have a new phone.
Whatever might make you say that, Kyle?
I think it was you saying that you had a new phone.
I have to be very cautious because the reason I have a new phone is because of a slight, tiny design flaw of the previously held phone. I think it has been no secret throughout our discussions that I have been trying to decide for going on years now, between clinging to the belief that Windows Phone will be an actual, or to be 100% correct, Windows 10 phone is going to actually be a legitimate thing, and whether or not I was going to go that route or go the route of a Android system, because I just don't see myself as an Apple guy. I've never worn a man bun. I don't believe that the Mac Air is the best piece of hardware ever made. And so the whole concept of putting my life over into iTunes just simply, or I something, simply doesn't sit well with me. So I've been firmly ensconced in the Windows 10 phone versus the Android phone discussion. And there was a small bid in the favor of the Windows 10 phone, which I have to, and Kyle will, at some point when we're together, I will show him. I am very, very pleased with my 950 XL, which has a very rugged case on it and a screen protector. And I'm very pleased with it. I like the screen. I like the capability of the phone. But as everyone says, the applications on the phone are... not the superest.
The problem that I've found, and I think I've said this before, is that it's not just that the applications aren't there, but it's the applications that are there are not they're not supported to the same quality as on other platforms.
And I am begrudgingly agreeing with you on that. Now, I am a big user of the Netflix app, and that works pretty well on both of them. I have not noticed a distinct difference between the two. But there is no Vudu app, and I have most of my movie collection on Vudu. The one thing that nearly made me throw my phone away, my Windows 10 phone away, was when Delta removed their app. And I tried to find out what my flight was, and it said, "We're sorry, this application is no longer supported on this device." And there was no notice, no nothing, just they decided to remove it. So I'm still hemming and hawing, but I'm starting to lean more towards the Android. And specifically, even though I know how to back a winner, I am very ensconced in the Samsung equipment. Kyle, you are a partial Samsung consumer, having both a phone and a wearable, right?
Yeah, correct. Yeah, so I've got the Samsung Galaxy S7 Edge.
Okay.
And I also have a the Gear 3 Frontier.
The Gear Watch. Right?
Yeah, the Gear 3, yep.
And you also have the Gear VR, right?
So long story of that is
you had it.
I got one with my phone. As like, you know, basically it was the free giveaway with the phone.
Right.
Unfortunately, when they tried to deliver it, I was not home. And no one was home. So they tried three times, sent it back, because they didn't listen to my previous requests. Like the delivery company didn't listen to previous requests, which were just basically leave whatever package, here's my thing that says, you can leave the package. So they didn't. And I've been trying to get it ever since, and it's never they've never resupplied it. Like apparently they were going to, but then it just never happened.
You have also said on various shows in the past or various episodes of this podcast that you really don't want that because you're pretty convinced that using it on any sort of regular or irregular basis is going to make you sick.
Well, yeah, but I also want to know if that's true.
Well, and you have used it. You've at least used mine. I know.
Yes. For a short period of time, and that's the thing. Like, sort of it may be okay, but equally, it's. I would like to try it.
Yes.
So.
All right. And when we come back to me, remind me to ask you about how the new lady in your life is doing. We'll come back to that later. If your wife is listening, I promise that I will make good on that statement in a way that will not offend her. So back to my phone.
Yeah, back to your phone. Yep.
Also a Samsung Galaxy S7 Edge. And... Right. I was going to get the Global Entry Program interview. Now, because you're not a U.S. citizen, you may not be familiar with this, but in the U.S., leaving the country is often very much not a big deal. There are certain countries that it's obviously a big deal to get into, but they kind of let you go. It's like, you know, you get in an aircraft and they take you where you're going to go and you fill out some paperwork on the other side. Coming back into the U.S., on the other hand, can be a real pain in the neck for U.S. residents. So they have a program sort of like TSA PreCheck, which is designed so that you just go up to a little terminal and you swipe your passport and You answer some questions. You don't have to fill out any paperwork. You answer some questions, and then you go pick up your bags and you go to customs and you're done. That's it. There's no immigration. Yep. There's no talking to people other than the one customs person who looks at your piece of paper and says, you're free to go. So I was all excited about this because, you know, as you do, I often travel as well. So I was pretty excited about this. And I was so excited that as I was walking, I pulled my phone out of my pocket and at a distance, because I'm a fairly short human, so it is not like it could be that far from the ground, I accidentally slipped the S7 Edge, slipped out of my hand, fell a distance of no more than 4 feet, landed in such a way that it cracked and shattered the back plate, not the front plate.
The back plate, okay.
The back plate of the device, which is covered in Gorilla Glass. So the metal is not actually what you touch when you're touching a glaze of Gorilla Glass. And so, which I was not aware of. It actually did not prevent the phone from operating. The phone was completely operational. The screen is still pristine, and the charger and everything worked. But it is awkward to hold in your hand because your fingers keep grazing across that crack, or those cracks, I should say, and catching on them, not to the point where they like cut your fingers, but just they're uncomfortable. So I went to go because the carriers here, the carrier that I had this through, paying it off monthly, they had an insurance on it. So I was just going to trade it in. And I was very excited to discover that instead of trading it in, that I was eligible to upgrade for less money than the deductible for the insurance to get a refurbished S7 Edge. So I now have in my grubby little hands at this very time, on the day of its release, I might add, the S8 Plus.
Nice.
Yes.
Now, do you have the... So have you turned it on?
I have.
Okay.
And it did not immediately combust.
Did it have the red screen?
Did it have the red screen?
Yeah, because that's one of the issues. There's been a few folk in Korea who got it yesterday. Who basically have been getting red screens on, or very very red, like a very red tint.
Yeah.
Samsung.
I prefer not to know.
Yeah, fair enough. Samsung have said that it's not an issue, but there's people who differ. That's right. That's good if you don't have that. I was looking at doing the upgrade to that, but I won't be able to do it until June, I think, was my upgrade date. So,
well, right now, I am leaning towards the fact that this could be the device that puts me over the edge. However, I have learned
in which way.
towards the Samsung.
Okay, good. Okay, all right.
However, there are, as always, some pluses and minuses with these devices. First of all, one big plus is, you know, the big thing that Microsoft was touting, the Microsoft Hello?
Yes.
Which is available in the 950 XL, which is where it has facial recognition and recognizes you and signs you in so that you don't have to keep putting the password in every single time you want to access your machine. Well, the S8 and 8 Plus have fingerprint recognizer, a fingerprint thing, which is in a very inconvenient spot, and other people have mentioned that, because it's on the back of the device near the camera. So it's sort of like saying, here, let me accidentally put fingerprints all over my camera lens. But it also has both facial recognition and iris scanning. And it recognizes my face faster than Microsoft Hello does.
There you go. Okay.
So it has that benefit. On the negative side, it does not have the same charger as the S7 Edge does. It uses the same charger, funny enough, that the 950 XL.
Because they've changed the USB-C, right?
Right, they went to USB-C.
Yep. Okay. But it still has the wireless charging, though, doesn't it?
It does. It wireless charging is built in. And I really have to say that the bigger model, the Plus that I have, really doesn't feel as big and bulky as the 950 XL does. Now, it doesn't have its case yet. But now that I have actually broken a phone, I have a case on order. It should be here tomorrow. And I'm also going with the screen protector. So I wanted to ask this question, not only of you, but of our listener. What do you believe, A, in cases, and B, in screen protectors?
So... I don't normally do a screen protector.
You do not.
On the iPads that the kids have, I certainly do screen protector and case. The reason I do a case, I normally don't. Well, in the past, I haven't done cases.
Mm-hmm. For the phone itself.
For the phone itself, yeah. For the S7 Edge. I did. Now, the reason I did it for that was because because of the curved screen.
Uh-huh.
It started on the S6. So on the S6 Edge, like the with the curved screen, the problem was that sort of that without the case, you ended up touching the side too often.
Uh-huh.
If you're holding it in your hand. So that was the bit that was the reason why I did it that I put a case on it. And then when I got the S7 Edge, I got a case for the same reason. Although I've had it a couple of times now, like where I haven't had the case on, and it's not as touchy with the round edges.
Okay.
Having said that, last weekend I was in New Zealand last weekend, and I had the phone in my pocket, and I was going across to the satellites, and the satellites decided to change, so I ran a little bit, and the phone dropped out of my pocket and went like. I was kind of running a little bit quickly. Phone dropped out of my pocket, and the phone went, like, fell onto the ground, tumbled end over end, and kind of landed face down, which ordinarily would be, you know,
the death of the phone. Yeah.
Yeah, and picked it up, and the case certainly took a battery, but the phone itself not a scratch.
Okay.
So, I think. With my when I get the new phone, I'll get a case for it. Just simply because I do have a tendency every now and then to drop it. I have a tendency every now and then to I don't treat my equipment like it's like
a precious thing.
Yeah, exactly. Like they're kind of like tools to me is what I teach what I use my equipment as. So
right.
So yeah.
Yeah, I've never been very gentle when putting my screwdrivers or wrenches into my toolbox after I was done with them. And I can honestly say that I have a tendency to just drop my phone on my desk at sort of the drop of a hat. So I asked that question because it is a controversial issue. With some people say absolutely you have to have a case because they just don't make the phones to protect themselves. You know, it's like we can sell more phones if you accidentally drop your phone, which I'm not sure that that's a agenda item on the man that's responsible for phone, but I can tell you that this sucker is slippery.
Yeah, and that was the like the that was actually the other thing that I found with the S7 at least, like sort of that it was like it was far more likely to actually fall out of your hand.
Yeah.
Than like previous phones that I've had. So yeah.
And because it's rounded on both sides, it really does feel like this thing is just begging to fall out of your hand. So I have a case coming for it. I also have a screen protector, and I had a screen protector on my S7, which I took off after, removing my memory and my SIM and stuff like that and getting it ready to send back, because I have to send the old one back. I took all the protective stuff that I had for the S7 Edge, and the screen was immaculate. I was amazed at how good that screen looked underneath that protector. I've never had an issue with protectors. I know some people have. But there are different kind of protectors out there for those unwary souls. There are flat screen protectors that are traditionally tempered glass, which are great. I've used one on my 950 XL. But on the curved screens, it's almost always better to go with a film-based one.
Okay, yeah, well, yep, yep, yep.
Because otherwise the glass ones, well, they won't just fit right. And if they don't fit right, it's all over. The whole reason you got that great curved screen is now completely moot. So it's a really important thing that if you are going to get a screen protector for something like the S7 Edge or the... by the way, there are no more non-curved screens in the Samsung line. Starting with the S8, all of them are curved on both sides.
There you go. Okay.
So, but yeah, so I am getting a case for this. I also am getting a screen protector for this. So that was my phone story. And it is kind of disappointing at how easy it was to accidentally break that phone. I had often looked at, like, my son, who seems to go through phones like they're pairs of jeans. And I'm like, how can you damage it that much? And I now realize that he really didn't damage it more. He just was much more active than I am. Because all it takes is just a slip these days, and the next thing you know, you are either shelling out another couple hundred to several hundred dollars for a super phone, or you're paying $150 of insurance deductible in order to get it to get a refurbished model. And that just seems silly to me that we're in that kind of planned obsolescence that I refer to sometimes. You know, you don't get a monitor repaired, you get a monitor replaced.
Yeah, that's true.
Same thing with televisions. You know, granted, there are so many different kinds of television. I walked into Costco. And the first section that you come to in the store that is nearest my house is all of the electronics. And I'm like, how can there be this many TVs? I remember going to a TV store that had one wall of TVs, and that was it. And this is just row and row and row. Now, of course, they're much bigger than they used to be, so they have to show those off. But do you want curved? Do you want 4K? Do you want 8K? Do you want the 1080p? Do you want a 720p? I couldn't believe they still had 720p's on sale. That type of thing. And boy, can you spend some money on a television set these days?
You can. You can certainly. Yeah, absolutely. If you want to... There's a lot you can do.
Yeah. Now, that being said, I am perfectly happy with a no-name 55-inch television that I use for my Xbox gaming and my hockey watching and football watching. And that's about it. That's about all it does. And I paid the correct price for that item. But... that correct price is I was not going to spend more than $300 for said device. But it's not 4K. It's not curved. It's a 1080p. It's a good thing to hook up to an Xbox One, and it's fine. But if I was going to hook something up to an Xbox One S, which has the actual 4K, or Project Scorpio when that comes out, that's actually going to be a 4K screen. And I'll have that same thing in my head. I don't want to spend too much money on this, because if something goes wrong with it, I'm not going to fix it. I'm going to replace it.
Yep.
So, but anyway, so that's my thing about phones. I have to ask you, how is Alexa?
So, because I've been on the road so much, I haven't done much. But like, so it was because you mentioned that, I realized that I actually haven't. There was a few things that I hadn't done. So one of the things that I looked at, because Alexa's designed to work in the US and the UK. So there's a few services that don't work outside of that. So say for instance, the location if I say, you know, what's the weather like? The location that Alexa sees as being the location, it can't be an Australian address currently. So therefore, it tells me what the weather is like in Seattle.
Ah.
So it goes, yeah, it's great. It's like, well, okay.
It's raining out.
Right, yeah, it's not helping me. I expect that situation will improve. Amazon have just announced that they're going to be coming to they're actually coming to Australia, so they're going to be launching in Australia. So I suspect that means that we're going to have a lot more support for items, which will be good. So I'm looking forward to that. I've just found. Because you mentioned that, I thought I'll go and have another look at it. That I can now actually change it to being a the time zone for the device can be set to Australia now. So that's good.
Well, there you go.
And there's I don't know if you knew about this, but like, because I know that you've showed me the app before to do all the setup. Uh-huh. There's actually a website to be able to do it. So once it's registered, that you can then use the website to be able to control all of your Amazon devices.
Ah.
So I can see on here, I can see the settings, I can see my Fire Stick as well as my Echo.
Ah.
As well as your Echo. Not my Echo. Your Echo.
No. It's yours now. I have foregone the dark hue and went for the light hue. I am now on the light side.
Okay.
I have a white Echo.
You have a white Echo. Okay.
Yes.
See, I'm not racist. I don't care what color my Echo is.
Now, this, you do remember we were recording this, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I was going with the whole light side, dark side of the force thing, and then you just went right there. You were such a bad man.
I am looking at the various different new, like the new skills that can be enabled. And again, most of them are sort of a lot of the skills are like. Not resident, if you like, to particular countries, but there are some that are obviously only US based at the moment. Like say for instance, I dare say that if I went to try and order some food, that it may be cold by the time it gets here. But I just noticed that there's one which is it's one of the top rated ones. Where'd it go? I was just scrolling through the list. The 5-minute plank workout.
Uh-huh.
That's not a workout. that's 5 minutes of planking. That's not a workout.
some of us, that would be a workout, my friend.
I'm saying that calling a 5-minute plank a workout
yes.
is like saying stand still for 5 minutes, and then I'm going to call that a workout.
Yes.
Anything for five minutes is not a workout. Oh. If you do things like combination of things, because otherwise you're not doing a workout, you're just doing a 5 minute plank.
Yes.
Is my argument.
I understand your argument, and I'm saying, as a man who is not in such good shape. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, our record. Kyle Rosenthal is going to be doing a half marathon.
Half marathon. Yes.
And your first half marathon, yes?
Yes, yes, indeed.
Couldn't do a whole one, yeah. Huh?
No. No. not right.
Just
at the moment.
No.
I decided to, I've decided to do a half marathon. And it's funny, like, sort of since I said I think I'm going to do a half marathon, my wife has like been like, there's my wife and there's a my kid's godmother is they've both been going back and forth, going, oh, so there's another one that's up here and blah, 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 and, like, you can do this one. It's like, I just want to actually make it through one.
Yes.
Let me just get through one, and then we'll see how we go.
And are you actually actively working your way up to a full marathon, or?
Yeah, so, no. I'll see how I go at the end of this one. Like, that is basically what it's going to boil down to. I have no intention right at the moment of doing a full marathon.
Uh-huh.
That doesn't mean that it's not going to happen. But it's not. That's not what I'm saying as being my goal. My goal is just to prove to myself that I can do a half marathon and still walk afterwards, and then see how I go after that. Like, I run pretty much most days now. Mm-hmm. So I run 5K a day at least now. So
feel significantly different.
No, exactly.
Besides, like, the fact that it's twice that.
Well, it's a 5K and then 21K.
Yeah.
It's basically doing a week's worth of my 5Ks in one go.
Right.
So,
exactly.
But when I was in Portugal, I decided to go for a 7K run. Mm-hmm. There's another sort of fitness challenge-y thing that I was participating in. And I decided then to go for a little bit longer. And then I just kind of went, well, if I'm going for a little bit longer, I should go for, make it worth my while. So I ended up doing 10K. And at the end of the 10K, I was happy about that. I was alive and well, and I actually felt quite comfortable with it, and I kept the same pace the whole time. So that kind of is what makes me think maybe I can do a full one. So
okay. Presumably the reason you're going to do this is because you're going to deliver a message between marathon and Athens. As a non-runner, as a man who avoids most methods of transportation, except for some reason, rowing. I can't do bike riding. I can't do running or even fast walking or any of that kind of stuff. I have no problem with either a rowing machine or actually rowing a boat.
There you go.
Not that I'm going to do any of those for extended periods, but I do have the utmost respect for anybody who can do a full, a half or a full marathon. The fact that somebody's life was on the line to bring a message, or so the story goes, we're assuming that story is correct. Many people a long time ago wrote about it, so we kind of hope it was correct, but you never know with history books.
That's true.
But it, you know, the fact that this was such an important message that somebody would risk their life, and ultimately did risk their life, correct? He didn't like recover afterwards.
No. I think from memory that he did it and then just died. Yep. I'm hoping that's not going to be the outcome.
Yeah, you don't want that to be the outcome. And many people, at least judging by the cars you see, in America, what people do is they do marathons so that they can put stickers on their car, either half or full marathons, because they have these stickers that say, 11.1 and 23.2 or whatever the different things are for the full and the half marathons. But they put those on their car so that you know that they're running because they're very pretentious. But they're also very healthy and pretentious. So, they've got that going for them. So you'll have to keep me posted on how that other woman in your life is doing.
Absolutely. So there's a few things that I'm going to I'll play around with to try and to expand out what she does and like the next, as I said, next month I'll be home more, so I'm going to be able to use more of the sort of the features of it. So I've just, like, say for instance, I've just enabled Spotify on it, which I don't have Spotify currently, so I think I can do, like, you know, just the you have to actually sign up for a Spotify app, like Spotify Premium, to be able to use it. So normal Spotify won't work on it. But I think Remy Amazon Music. So Amazon Music, you get Amazon Music as part of the Prime subscription, I think, from memory, but it doesn't seem to to fully enable it for Alexa, just having a look. But I think there's just a few things I need to work out as to what it actually does and dive deeper into it now that I'll have, like, you know, having some more time at home to be able to do so.
I also have another piece of technology news, and since we are Trainers Talking Tech, we're really talking tech here. We're not really talking training, but we are talking tech. However, this particular device could actually be used for training. And, of course, there's a story. So I have a Windows 10 tablet. Actually, it was originally a Windows 7 tablet. That is a 10-inch tablet. Scratch that, an 11-inch tablet. 11-inch tablet. That is a Lenovo Mix, M-I-I-X.
Okay, I think I might have one of those too.
Which is an amazing device. It was like $200 or $300. It's got built-in RAM, and it's got a Celeron processor or something like that. But it's got 1080p, and it's got 10 points of fingerprint recognition or touch point recognition. It comes with a keyboard, and it can be done in sort of a kiosk mode or a tablet mode or a regular laptop mode. It's got a USB ports on the base if you decide to use those. So it's a really nice device. It was really effective. And I like it, but the problem is it's not super expandable. It only recognizes up to 32 gigs of SD, and it itself only has a 32 gig built-in compact flash, essentially, and that's what it uses for storage for the hard drive itself. So you're constantly, if you're doing updates, you're constantly deleting old versions and stuff like that. But a really wonderful device. I like it. It's just that it's a little old, it's a little flimsy, it's a little underpowered. Then I have my Surface 3 Pro, which is a 12-inch device, I guess. Is it? Is it 12? No. What is it?
I don't know.
I don't know what size it is. It's not much bigger than my mix. But ultra-high resolution, all sorts of bells and whistles. I've got a docking station with it and all this other kind of stuff. But the problem is that with such a small screen and such a high resolution, there's really no good way of being zoomed correctly and being able to look at it for long periods of time, like, you know, when you're on the road at a show or if you're teaching a class, there's no way of looking at it for a long period of time without getting a headache.
Right, okay. Yep.
Especially when you're old like I am and are in need of getting a new corrective eyewear or something like that. So I've still got that, still got both of those devices, love it. So I have switched now to the Asus it's not a transformer. I can't remember what it is, but it's the one that goes all the way around and becomes a tablet or is a more commonly used as a laptop, and that's a 15.6. So that's a good, healthy size screen. It has a it does not have a 4K monitor. It's just a standard 1080, and it has good resolution, good screen size, and I can stare at that for long periods of time. But it is a little unwieldy and a little heavy compared to all of the other devices. So I don't like to use my Mix as a reading device. I don't like to use that for using it as a tablet only. I don't like to use my Surface as a tablet only. And my Nook that I have, which is a little 4-inch e-reader, is a little small for me to use for a reading device. So I wanted something in between all of those devices, and I found one.
Okay.
It's made by a company called Insignia, which, you know, very high-end name brand there. But it is a 1080p 8-inch laptop, or a tablet, sorry, tablet. And it is a pretty 1080p. Awesome device.
Right, okay.
It actually it has a better screen than 1080p. It actually goes up to like essentially 2K. It does the almost the same resolution as the Surface can do. But in a little tiny tablet that has just, you know, it's got an Atom processor and all this other kind of stuff. But I'm running Insider Edition Windows 10 on it, and it is great as a reader. It works. It's the size of a thin hardcover book. So I'm right now I'm a little smitten with it, and I will make sure I bring it along the next time we're going to be together so you can check it out. But it is pretty handy. I got a little El Cheapo pen. Not as good as the Surface Pen, obviously, but a little pen with the little spongy thing to simulate your finger. A capacitive pen, I guess they call them. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
So
the one that replaces your finger.
Yes, the one that replaces your finger. But yeah, it's doing really well, and I'm starting to use night light mode.
Yes.
Because I have a desktop that I use with a nice big 28-inch 4K monitor, which is really bright, but if I use that too late at night, I find that my eyes get much more strained than when I use like my Surface or something like that that has the night light on. And all that does is change the color. Sometimes they call it a blue light filter, where it's less intensely blue because they use blue to make computer screens brighter.
Yeah.
But it really is noticeable, especially with the readers. And one thing that I really would love is if they had a good Windows 10 e-ink device. That's what I would really love, like a Kindle or a Nook. Because I still think to this day that it is easier to read e-ink than it is to read a tablet.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree. 100%.
Are you still paying attention to me? Have I talked you to death?
No. I use both the e-ink on, like, I've got a Kindle that I use reading from, but also I use, I'll read off the iPad, or I'll read off I've got an Android tablet, the convertible thing. I'll use as well.
Could you just repeat that one more time?
Android tablet convertible thingy. I picked up on when I was heading to Europe. I picked up a Lenovo Yoga book.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It's the one that you can. It's got a stylus, but the stylus you can use to actually write essentially on a piece of paper. So you layer the piece of paper over where the keyboard would normally be,
uh-huh.
And then you can write with a normal pen, that can also be a keyboard as well. So it's what they call a Halo keyboard, but it's a full bendy tablet, so you can turn it flip the screen back the other way, and then it's just you just hold it in your hand as a normal tablet. It has convinced me that Android is great as a mobile operating system, but oh. is nowhere near a desktop replacement. It's just too frustrating as a desktop replacement. I tried it. I thought I'll try, because it has Office and I can install Office and that's a thing on it. But yeah. No. I read off a number of devices, but the one that's the most comfortable to read off is the Kindle, 100%.
Yep.
Hence my agreeing with you 100%.
You did. But I was a little suspicious because you were agreeing with me, and that always makes me a little leery.
I didn't mean to make you suspicious.
I think you did.
I didn't. Honest.
Honest and for true, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm trying to think if I had anything else sort of major to report, and I'm not sure that I do. What else do you have from the technology field?
I don't really have a lot at the moment. From my various bits of travel, mm-hmm. There is a device that I bought, which, because obviously going in and out of different countries, one of the challenges always is power. It was an ex-Kickstarter project that I bought. It's a world adapter for which has two built-in USB high-speed chargers in it as well, and it is quite compact. It takes all grounded plugs, which I know from being from the US, you have no idea what that means, but that's when you actually have three prongs as opposed to two. So therefore, it actually does, it grounds the electrical devices.
Now, you do realize that we're not all Amish. Some of us do actually have grounded outlets in their house.
See, in the US, I don't think I've ever actually come across anywhere that has grounded outlets.
Okay. That
yeah.
That I have been in the same hotels you have been in.
Actually, no, you're right. You're right. No, you're right. You're right. I lie. I have. I just
don't want anybody getting very upset at your country and coming over there and attacking you.
Oh, it's too far.
That's true.
No one's gonna come. As a little device, and I can't remember what the name of it actually is at the moment. But if I'll find it and I'll put it into the show notes, that I'll give to Mr. Finley when he gets back from his trek. It's a really good device for being able to do multiple countries and that sort of thing. Very handy. Also put it with, I've got a power board or a power strip that I've got from that I bought when I was in Malaysia a while ago, which is a multi-country power board. So basically, like, it takes any power plug into it. So I've combined those two, which then means that basically I can go anywhere and plug devices, no matter where I've purchased those devices from, that they'll work. The only challenge that I've had with that particular one is with that power adapter is that it's got a little bit of an issue with it's very heavy when it's in a plug. So what I mean by that is that if you are in a area that doesn't have the grounding.
Yes.
So again, I'm going to go out on the limb, and you're going to say I was wrong. But say, for instance, when I go to a country that uses one of the US adapters,
yes,
that doesn't have the third, like, and it like the power adapter itself doesn't have the ground on it. So like, it'll accept the grounded plug, but it doesn't have a grounded prong coming out.
Yep.
Which means that then when you plug it into the wall, if it's a wall socket. Mm-hmm. It's quite a challenge because
it'll pull itself out, essentially.
Exactly. So you go, yeah, I'm going to charge whatever I'm doing. And it goes, no, you're not. Or I know you think you are, but you're not. So, yes. So that's a bit of annoyance. But apart from that, like, apart from that one fatal flaw, it's quite a good device. That was my two sort of traveling purchases. I do have a new bag.
Ah,
a new laptop bag. Hey,
let's talk about that for a second. Let's talk about that, because I have a gripe. I know that's shocking. Yes.
That, no, it doesn't.
Yeah, okay, that's sure, only because does. You it know does. Me.
Yes. That's true.
Pardon the appearance of being a comic, but what is the deal these days with people building laptop bags that quite literally fall apart at the drop of a hat?
Yeah, well, that is definitely an issue that I've had in the past. And again, it boils down to, what I was saying earlier. I treat my equipment, and you know, it include my laptop bag as an equipment. I treat it just simply that I'm not precious with them. Mm-hmm. So, which does become an issue sometimes. I've had issues before, certainly, like, you know, stuff falling apart and that sort of thing. This particular bag that I've got, it was a Kickstarter run by a friend of mine.
Yes, I remember you showing me the link and me being all excited.
Yeah, for the alpaca. Mm-hmm. And I have to say it. It's done, you know, two international trips now since I've got it, So quite a few miles, etc., and it's held up quite well. I haven't had any issues. I haven't had any issues yet. So,
It is good to hear that somebody somewhere is having good luck, because I've had some bad luck. I actually had a string of bad luck with laptop bags, and was trying to get my wife to commiserate with me, and she would not. The laptop bag that I used for a year and a half, was starting to fray. The actual fabric that made up the bag was fraying. Not a junction or something like that. Where you put things in the pocket was starting to explode. So I was like, all right, I'm going to go out and I'm going to get a good leather bag.
Right.
Well,
yep.
I did not get a good leather bag. I got an inexpensive leather bag, which,
you got,
by
a
the
leather
way,
bag.
this is not a joke. I'm not kidding about this. Did not read the description of it well enough. Goat leather.
Goat leather. Okay.
Not
all right.
Coat leather. Goat leather. And okay. Not even solid leather. It was actually leather over canvas. Which,
are you kidding me?
No. Keep in mind,
that
this
was a goat joke,
for,
by the way.
What's that?
That was a goat joke, by the way.
You're kidding. Oh, I get it. See, not everybody would get that.
That's true.
Just my extreme wit that I was able to understand that.
Or at least half of it, no.
It is a great bag. It's a messenger style bag as opposed to a backpack. I have a Targus backpack, which I have used for close to a decade, which is still to this day has an 8-pound laptop in it right now that I could pick up and cart anywhere, and that laptop will be well protected. But I don't want a backpack, because I never use a backpack like a backpack should be used. I put it over one shoulder, and then I end up wondering why I have a backache.
Yep.
So I was tired of that. So I said, well, if I'm going to put something over one shoulder, I'm going to put something that's designed to be over one shoulder and either go across my body or have it hang off of one side of my body. So I got this goat leather thing, and it was great. It was roomy. I could stuff it. The pockets were holding together, but the places where the straps actually held on tore. And I'm like, all right, I tore leather, and I'm carrying this around? That's too heavy. And that's when I was really starting to look at how much technology I bring with me places. And so I went out and I ordered a new one, an actual genuine canvas bag designed for all weather, weatherproof canvas bag with leather on it, and it arrived broken.
No.
It arrived broken 2 days before I was supposed to leave for 2 weeks of travel, a situation which I know you are well aware of.
Yep.
And so I had to shuffle off to the local Best Buy, and the manufacturer of the backpack, which I was raving about, or the one that I've had for a very long time, is a Targus. And so found a Targus messenger bag. It's more of what they call an executive bag, which appears to be doing the job. It is. It held up very well on that two. It looks exactly like it did before that 2-week excursion, and it did manage to carry all of my technology from point A to point B without destroying it. But I think the biggest culprit I have, and this is something that we can complain about in another technology-based episode or podcast, is headphones. Headphones which come with a case are very cumbersome in a pack that compresses.
That is true.
But that being said, my ears can no longer take Bud earphones. I can't put them in anymore.
Okay.
Are you a Bud guy?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Particularly like when I'm traveling, like now it depends on the circumstance. Say for instance, when I'm traveling, my go-to noise cancelling headphones are Bud earphones now. So I've gone from the Bose over the earphones to now the in-ear ones. And the reason being because I found that if I was falling asleep on a plane, having over the head earphones were really annoying. Like they would just be uncomfortable as I was falling asleep. So instead, I decided not to.
To fall asleep?
Well, no, I decided not to wear the over the head one. So I just had normal sort of Bud earphones, which I used for quite a while, which were noise isolating as opposed to noise cancelling.
Which just means they create a seal.
Yeah, basically, yeah. I was talking to Pete Calvert. I don't know if you know if you've met Pete. He's a MCT in Australia, and he put me onto the new Bose, the new Bose ones, which are in ear. They're noise isolating as well as noise cancelling. And they are just amazingly comfortable. I can wear them on an entire flight basically all the way from the US to Australia without any issues whatsoever. And not feel any discomfort. So
are they wireless or wired?
No, they're wired. And the reason that I use wired was because I use them on the entertainment system on the
plane.
I do have a pair of wireless ones, which are in-ear ones. Uh-huh. But they're my running ones.
Uh-huh.
So that's a Jabra, Sports Plus or Sports Pulse.
Mm-hmm.
So they actually do apparently inaccurate measurement of your heart rate and that sort of thing. There's apps that go along with it, etc. But then they're noise isolating, not noise cancelling. So
you can't hear that car that's about to hit you.
Which is fine. I want to be taken by surprise. So that's okay.
And you shall.
That's right. Exactly.
Well, I think that there are plenty of technology talks to be had in the future, but I'm glad that we had this one because it did give me a chance to both promote and demote those things in which I've had some conflicts in my technology existence.
Yeah, for sure. No, it's been good. It's been good. So, excellent. All right, well, anything else that you'd like to randomly bring up?
Well, I think we should recap our logistics.
Before we get to the housekeeping part, the anything else you want to mention before we wrap up?
No, I have been on a relatively short-lived, so far anyway, hiatus from travel. Although I did just get back from MCT Summit in Bellevue, Washington this year, and okay. A good time was had by many. And I'll even go out on a limb and say all attendees had a good time. And then we had a wildly successful virtual event called Launch, which was going to feature you and myself and some other people doing a live presentation of Trainers Talking Tech on Tuesdays. Of course, in keeping with the spirit, it was going to be recorded on a Thursday. And things logistically just didn't work out, so we apologize to the people who were expecting that, and want to let you know that we're putting together wheels within wheels, plans within plans, to make sure that we get you some sort of actual live event sometime this year. So,
Well, there you go. Thanks for letting me know.
yeah. Well, I wasn't going to tell you. It was going to be a surprise for you. The listeners, on the other hand,
I'll put my headphones back on then.
these are not noise cancel. These are Brian canceling.
There you go. So I am off to Korea next week. So I'll be in Seoul for the last of the Microsoft Tech Summits, which is I was contemplating the other day that this journey started last year in whatever month it was, November, October, November, maybe September. But that was like, so I was at the first one in Taiwan, and now I'm going to be at the last one in Korea. So, and I've just got back from having done four of them in throughout Europe. So, that was interesting. And I got to meet quite a few MCTs as well. That we had a we had a couple of sort of impromptu MCT dinners while I was there, so that was good. Got to meet up with quite a few of the European MCTs, and then some of the British MCTs as well, so the UK ones. And I have to list them separately now because they're starting Brexit, so they're no longer European. And then after that in June is my next little bit of travel, and that should be to Greece, to Thessaloniki for the MCT summit, European MCT summit. So hopefully we'll get to meet a few more of the MCTs there while we're there. But it should be that should be a good couple of days as well. And then after that, obviously we start rolling into
Conference time.
conference time. That's right. So the back end of the year is always pretty pack solid. So
Yeah,
yes,
because
and
you're
somewhere in
going to
between that.
have Inspire and Ignite and
Yep,
other words
and then
starting with I. No other words starting with I. It's just.
no, but there we will have the event that shall not be named,
Yeah, well, yes.
which is just after Inspire. So yeah, so it's gonna be a busy back of the year. So
And hopefully lots of opportunity for you and I to get together and record some podcasts.
yeah, absolutely. I'm looking forward to it. So today actually is the officially the first day of the MCT Summit in Australia,
Yes, which is
but
not
it got
happening.
postponed. Yeah, exactly. However, there was one of the MCTs, Simon, if you're listening to this, who did turn up because he posted on Facebook that he was at the MCT Summit, and it's like,
You are the only one.
That's right. I don't think you are. I hope you're enjoying your conference.
Your personal conference.
That's exactly right. Exactly right.
But I'm sure that they'll do a bang up job in the near future to try and get those people to all those people being all those Australian MCTs together.
Yeah, absolutely. So the hopefully we're yeah like we can make it happen again later on this year, so or at some point. So I did have just a random thought to throw at you. There's a one of the music channels here over the last couple of days has been doing a or sorry they did a boy band countdown.
Okay.
So he's just your random thing. So a friend of mine said that he's actually put down, he's defined now what a boy band is. So a boy band must by definition have five guys in it, two rap or breakdancing types, one brooding bad boy, one guy who can actually sing, and one guy who looks good in white linen suits, white linen slacks. So there you go. So just in case there was any aspiring people who wanted
Be an
to maybe
MCT and join a boy
and
band?
And a boy band? Then yeah, now you know what's required.
That's right. So, which one would you have been?
I can't really sing. Therefore, okay. I wouldn't be the one that can sing. I don't do brooding bad boy well. I'm not sure. I've never tried white linen slacks. I may look okay with that. So otherwise, I just have to be the rap or breakdancing type. And I can do
actually.
Both of
I was going to say I know for a fact that Ice Ice Baby holds no candle to you. Or no, the rap Vanilla Ice holds no candle.
Vanilla
to you.
Ice.
Vanilla
Rupert
Ice.
Van Winkle. Rupert Van Winkle.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So on that note.
Okay.
We really should do our closing logistics.
We should do now. We should be simply to put our listeners out of their misery.
Yes.
And also, I think it's probably time to wrap up. It's been a good show. It's been quite a good one. If you do want to be able to get hold of the show and get hold of the podcast that we've been recording, if you go to trainertechtalk.net, that will be where all of your training Tech Talk podcast needs will be. If you want to be able to get a hold of us, you can reach out to us on Twitter. Is probably the easiest way. The Twitter handle for the show is at Tuesday TTT. At Tuesday TTT, or you can get myself on at Windows PC Guy, or you can reach Brian at Brian Bork LODS.
And well Brian, done, sir.
Who is our sponsor for this week?
Our sponsor for this week, and most of all weeks, although they may not necessarily admit it, is the Learn On Demand Systems team, available at learnondemandsystems.com, because they couldn't come up with a longer domain name.
Indeed. Indeed. All right. So thank you for the last hour or so. It's been a good show. And, of course, thank you for everyone for joining us. As always, if you've enjoyed the show, this has been Trainers Talking Tech on Tuesday. And if you didn't, then thanks for joining us on Patch and Switch.
Hey, everybody, have a great couple of weeks. Leaves are falling.